Excuse me.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. This is Julie from Nortech with the Public Service Commission. It is Friday, July. What is the date today?
24.
July 24th. We are gathered in the commission room at the on the 12th floor of the state capitol for a work session on cases number GS 13-884-885-886 and 14-229-230-671. These are Northern Excavating Company Incorporated damage prevention enforcement cases. We've had hearings on these cases. We've had one work session. We now have a draft order, a couple draft orders in front of us, and so I think the goal today is walk through this order with the staff and see where we're at. So I don't have any opening comments. I don't know if Commissioner Christman, you have any?
No, I do not. Thank you, though.
Okay. Then I'm going to turn it over to the esteemed portfolio holder, Brian Kulk.
Don't forget, it's Kulk before you dig day today at the state. Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair. I think you set it up beautifully. We have the larger font order in front of you is one that Pat and Jack had a chance to go through, and you know, we put a lot of pressure on these guys to get it done, so they got it out there, and our general counsel, Lana, got a chance to look at it at the very end of the day. So Lana had some mostly happy to glad edits, she told me, but one that's substantive. So that's why we have the two different versions in front of you. So what I would just recommend, if it's all right with the two of you, is I had a chance to go through and look through the first one a little bit thicker or better, Pat and Jack's first version of it. And then I think we could maybe just hit that a little bit and then go through the second one just to have Alana highlight some of those. But in the first order, if you will, I looked through it and I saw a couple numbering changes on page 11. There was just one where the numbers got out of sequence. It went 1, 2, then jumped to 6, so they could put that in the happy to glad category. But I think for the substantive part for the three of us was the last time we met in the work session, we kind of settled in on, as I remember it, not to apply the escalator except for in the very first case. And staff has put together, if you jumped almost to the last page, it kind of breaks out that be $2,000 in the first case and it walks all the way through. The one that we probably should talk about is number F, because Commissioner Crispin, the first one, had a chance to talk to Jack and relate what his thoughts were for the work session, but we kind of left that at there as hanging, where, like, for example, the first case number GS 13884, it seemed like there was agreement that it'd be $1,000 for the second fine, $500 for severity, and then $500 for no ticket. So that part, I think, follows the same sequence of A through E of what we talked about in the work session. The question I had for Jack and Pat or Alana is it possible to break that $2,000 out into just what I said, $1,000 for repeat, $500 for severity, and $500 for no ticket? Because even when I look back in the explanation, and it said 884, I talked about civil penalty of $1,000. Is there a way to break that down? If that's okay with Randy and Julie, I think it's better to break it down into the what compiles that $2,000. Even if we do it earlier on, like, for example, that would be in page 4. It walks through the cases. In the very end, it says what the advocacy staff recommended. Somewhere in there in the order, I'd like to break that out into the different buckets.
Yeah, it could be in the findings of fact, or it could be in the order,
sure,
where you break down, you know, 2,000 to commission fines, commission orders, $2,000, $1,000 escalator, $500 for, you know, and break it out that way.
I can't remember if Jack's Victor's complaint breaks it down.
It doesn't.
It does.
Oh, well, he went through it all in the record.
The record. Okay, then yeah, we could do it in the findings.
I think each one of us has a chart. I brought my wrong.
Yep.
So
that part, I'll let Julie get to that. And then, does that sound reasonable to you, Randy, doing it that way?
It does, but I think this would be a good time to interrupt on a kind of a side note.
Sure.
And because you mentioned it because it's the first one in the list. But on 884, I think it's 884. Now I'm struggling to find it in here. That's one of the ones where there's the extra $500.
For no ticket.
Because there's not a valid ticket.
Right.
And, you know, the other two, they're just plain wasn't a ticket, or there was a ticket and it was, you know, way somewhere else. That one, I was just trying to find, I think it was like 4 days it was expired. Do we look at that the exact same way as just not having one? You know, it wasn't expired for a year, or it wasn't that they didn't have one, but it was expired for 4 days.
I guess in my mind, I look at it's either valid or not valid. So that's the way I, because if you said 4 days, then what about 5 days? What about 8 days? I've always held the valid or not valid.
Then I think it's important that when we break this out, that it be that extra $500 in those three cases be for not having a valid ticket.
Okay, well, that's a good point.
Not that there wasn't a ticket, you know. Or
okay.
Because they did have a ticket, so.
No, that's a good point.
I brought up on 884 specifically. Mm-hmm. Of the three where there's the extra $500 being proposed for lack of a valid ticket,
yep.
Two of them, there just was no ticket. One of them, it was expired, but I can't find it now. I think it was 4 days. It was a pretty small
outdated.
I was thinking that at the end of 21 days, you no longer have a ticket.
You no longer have a valid ticket. I guess as long as we have the word valid in there, it's probably okay, but it was sort of like a previous conversation I had with an esteemed lawyer about driver's licenses and whether you look at it differently if it's expired for a day or two as opposed to you never had one or it's been suspended by the government or something, but
now,
I think we need to work. We can't just say that they didn't have a ticket. It would have to be that they didn't have a valid ticket.
The conclusions I'm looking at say that it did not have a valid ticket. Maybe we didn't repeat that in every case, but 884 on page 9. Number 3.
Yep, you're right.
And then, and the next one says not a valid
ticket
locator.
Yep, that is correct.
And then 886 was they were not acting in a careful and prudent manner.
Does that resolve what you were thinking?
I think so. We need to make sure we word it that way in the explanation that Brian had brought up to break the penalties down, that they're worded that way too then. But yeah, I think that takes care of it in the text of this.
So 500 for not a valid ticket, 500 for severity, and then 1,000 for escalator. That sounds fine to me.
That would be 884 and 885, correct?
I have 884, 885, and 230 as the not a valid ticket. And then the severity, well, severity and escalator are the same for all of them, except I would like to talk about 671 while Randy's at this work session. Is there anything else that you wanted to jump on before we talk into the 671 discussion?
That's the only other thing I had.
Julie, did you have anything else?
I didn't.
So for 671, I will tell you quite candidly, I like the way it is, like, because I did read through it again, and I know that Mr. Lindberg made the case that, well, it wasn't him that did it, but he didn't offer any other buddy else who could have done it. And MDU's case was, hey, listen, it looks like it wasn't corroded, so they hit it. Their machinery was right there. But I'll tell you, quite frankly, that I don't want this to be a... If you functionally want something to change on it, Randy, I'm not going to, I guess, push back too hard on this one, because I think it's pretty clear that he's done a lot of this stuff. I don't think he was careful and prudent in his digging, and he may not have hit the line, but he didn't protect the trench, and then the trench probably caved in. That's what those photos look like to me, so the damage was probably not caused maybe from him directly, but when he didn't maintain the trench, it fell in. So if we wanted to lower those amounts to something in that case, I'd be fine with that, but I do think he's responsible.
You know, if I had to guess whether he's responsible, or not guess, but based on the evidence we heard, you know, that's which way I lean. It's not as overwhelming as the other five. He did mention another company that he specifically mentioned that had an excavator in the area, I thought. Is this because these are put together in one case, into one grouping? Is this one case? Would an appeal be of all six, or would an appeal be of whichever one he might be appealing?
Well, the appeal would be of the case, because all we did was consolidate them for hearing. I don't know that it would matter how the complaints are filed, one or a combo or individually. I think that wouldn't matter. But even knowing that, the appeal then has to specify the errors. So even if you're in one case or if you're in three cases, they have to say, this is the error, this one finding of fact, or this one sentence, or this one conclusion. So any appeal would focus down to what the issue was. It could not cover everything unless they thought you did everything wrong.
Okay. What would you think about, Randy, for that case, if we just remove the severity amount? I mean, I'm fine with, you know, right now it's down as they recommended. Well, we kind of asked Jack to put it in there at $1,500. If we remove the severity, how would you think about that? Or even if we brought that down to a total fine of $200 somehow. For me, I don't want to get wrapped up around the dollar amount. I think that the way the North Dakota law is and the way that the companies are viewing this now is that I think he's responsible. So some dollar amount shows he's responsible, and we move through it. I don't want to just put zero, because I think it's his responsibility to maintain the trench. He clearly didn't maintain the trench. So that's, to me, the rub a little bit.
You know, that's probably a good way of resolving it.
Well, and I'm, you know, looking again at the facts and some of the information filed, but based on what we saw in the pictures and what everyone is saying, it's, except for Mr. Lindbergh, who said that they didn't have any responsibility for it, the lines weren't cut, they were scraped, and they were the ones closest to those lines in that trench. And so, you know, maybe he didn't realize that it was scraped. You know, maybe it wasn't as obvious as you cutting through. They didn't, but somebody scraped them, and he knew that the lines collapsed, or that trench collapsed, and that the lines were exposed and all of that. So I just don't see any other plausible explanation for how those lines got scraped at the time and the damage occurred when, you know, the same time he was there. So
it is, you know, I do acknowledge that if you would find his version believable that someone else had scraped them and that's just the way they were when they exposed them, had he protected his trench well enough so that they didn't get exposed, he wouldn't have gotten blamed.
Yeah.
You know, so, and that is a responsibility that they have to protect that trench, so.
So could we, looking at Jack and Pat and Alana, could we tweak that to remove the severity but leave in the I mean, how do we do that? Let me rephrase that.
There's one other thing I'd like to mention about the record. The other excavator that was in the area was there a couple days before Northern showed up, and they weren't there when they weren't working there when Northern was there. And the MDU witness, the electric superintendent, I think it was, testified that the damage that was caused to that line, because of the damage that was caused to the line, It would not have lasted for 2 days. It would have only lasted for a few hours and failed before it failed, and it wouldn't have for sure lasted overnight.
Oh, so we would have known if it occurred 2 days before because there would have been an outage.
There would have been an outage already, yeah, if it had been done by the,
that's right,
the boring
that.
Company.
Thank you, Pat, for clarifying that. Yeah, yeah, that's a good thing to add to the findings.
I think you could tweak this any way you want, but make sure you explain it.
I think it's in there.
Explain what you're doing in there.
In the findings?
Yeah, number 48.
Okay. Yeah.
Something like that. More than a few hours, it says here.
Where is it at?
I think you need to talk
48.
About the outage, though, there, that there would have, you know, there's...
On page 8.
48, oh. Yeah. Just yeah. Add something about the fact that because there was no outage, you know, that's how we know there wasn't damage a couple days earlier or whatever.
So what would we think on, between Randy and Julie, what you would be comfortable with the...
So your proposal for that one is $500. Wait, what would it be?
Well, I just threw out there. I mean, I'm fine if we wanted to leave it the way it is, but if Commissioner Crispin wants to back off a little bit, I think that we could remove the severity because it wouldn't have the same severity of him actually not having a ticket and cutting something because he just didn't maintain the trench.
I agree with that. Just... So it would just be $1,000 for the escalator.
For the escalator.
And also it wasn't gas, although it was a higher voltage power line, I guess. But yeah.
Okay. Okay. That was easy enough.
To wrap up, I think it's good to mention in there that it wouldn't have lasted that long without an outage or indicating something that would have been obvious to everyone that had happened.
Okay. Well, that was all the notes that I had in the first one. I don't know what the best way to do from there. If Alana, you want to highlight some of your thoughts, or if Julie or Randy.
That would be helpful for Alana to just kind of step us through her input. And I really appreciate your input, so thank you, Alana, for getting that.
Well, I didn't know what stage we were at. I just got the thing and had a half hour and decided to quickly go through it. And I figured that these guys would look at it today. And most of it is just like identifying the cases specifically as opposed to lumping them together because I think it's much cleaner in order to do it that way. I did have that one change on 13885. And again, I don't know the evidence, but above about number 16, we say that Mr. Lindbergh testified the damage was a result of his excavation, but then when we get to 19, we said he didn't deny, which is what we were saying in the others, and I thought, well, if that sentence is true, then we shouldn't say not deny. We should say he agreed or admitted. I mean, it's a fine thing, but it makes the facts makes you look like you're not being clear with how you describe the facts. So that was one. Most of the others were typo things or case number things. And then I think in the fines, I did think needed a further explanation. I didn't know quite how to say it, but I talked with Pat about it at the very end of the day, and I think he understands and probably agrees.
Yeah, I did try something.
Okay.
You mean
just to say why you're doing what you're doing and why you're not following exactly what the staff recommended. Because it wasn't clear by just reading a stranger.
Oh, sure. Why did we not? Yeah.
And now you've got a little more to add to that because you're changing some of these fines. So I think they'll work out that. The only other thing I did substantive is in the conclusions, I added Northern violated 4923 all the way through as a conclusion of law, which is what it means when you say they weren't careful and prudent, but you got to get to the final violation. Yeah. So there's that all the way through, and I think that's about it.
Well, to verbalize the why we didn't do it, I think I'll try to say it, and then Randy and Julie can see if they make sense. But the reason we didn't do that, we wanted to. I can't even say it myself. This was a batch of cases that we considered together, so we didn't feel it was appropriate to apply the escalator on each one of these individual cases because we viewed them as a group of actions.
Mm-hmm. You say all cases,
so somehow say that.
And I think that was in the last order somehow. We'd have to look and see. We'd had the same issue.
Yeah, hopefully we explained it in the last order.
Which one?
The one about if eight cases are before you at the same time, then you're not adding an escalator to number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, because they're all... We said something like that in the last order.
What we did, what we said was what we're saying on page... Let's see. We just... this would be page... Oh, that's yours.
Which one? Are you looking at your version, Pat?
Look at my version on page 9, where we talk about... Where it says all cases just before conclusions of law,
right.
We in the last case we said that it was not appropriate to impose the penalties recommended for by advocacy staff for multiple violations.
Okay.
That's how we did it last case.
Maybe even add a little bit more clarity in there why we didn't do it, because I think there's a reason why we didn't, because we viewed him as a block. I don't know. It's just that.
Well, the block isn't.
Well, we said
that describes it as.
I should go get the last order, but it's in there that says this is the first time the company was before the commission, and therefore we're not going to impose the.
Yeah.
Higher penalties for repeats.
And I think this is actually really well worded, because I like that it says, but not the full amount of the civil penalties recommended, because we did actually technically apply an escalator to all but the first one. Otherwise,
yes.
It would have been 500 plus.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
yes.
All these have been 1,000 plus.
Yeah.
So we did apply a small escalator, but in recognition that he hadn't been through the whole process and had a finding against them, we didn't keep adding 500 and 505.
So do you like the language that's highlighted here?
I thought it was pretty good.
Alana was suggesting, I can read what I had written after Alana and I had visited yesterday. Consequently, in these proceedings, the commission believes it is appropriate to impose penalties that reflect multiple violations of the one-call law by the same company, but not as much as the amounts recommended by advocacy staff for multiple violations.
I think you were really good until you got to, but not as much as.
Okay.
I think it was your old language was better there, but not the full amount.
Okay.
I thought it sounded better. But
okay.
Other than that, I thought it was a good improvement as well.
All right.
So where will you break out the discussion about 500 no ticket, 500 severity, and 1,000, just so I understand what you guys are going? Where's it best to put that in?
That's where you could add an explanation that the commission agreed to a $1,000 escalator, because this is the second time the party has been before the commission. Mm-hmm. And then that should be clear what our rationale is.
Put it on page 9 where the highlighting is.
Mm.
Right with that other sentence that we just talked about, or put it?
Well, I think each case has to have a breakout of why you did it, because each one's different.
Okay.
So it has to go in either each set of findings at the end or each conclusion, or maybe you can.
Maybe the conclusions, the commission concluded. I don't know.
Is it an order, though? Is it more appropriately what we're ordering?
Well, when you order, you can break it out or combine it. But your reasoning for how you got to the order part, it's kind of both. And I don't know, if you don't care how long it is, you could repeat it, because some of these things are facts and law. But I don't know, you might have to write it and then see where it looks best.
I just think somewhere down the road, a future commission, or maybe the three of us looking back at this, we'll forget why it was $2,000 in case number 884 and why it was only $1,000 in 671.
Yeah.
I think it should go in every one each time.
Okay.
Even when you refer the staff complaint, nobody wants to go back there and look at the complaint to see how we got to $1,000 or whatever.
Well, and the legislature has asked us, and the auditor is looking at our matrix of how we do these things, and so it's better, I think, to put more detail in there.
how about this? Would this make sense? Under the findings of fact, explain more what the recommended penalty was. You know, break it out like Brian is suggesting. And then in the conclusions of law, what we concluded, explain how we got to what fine level we're going to order.
Yeah.
And on each case, because they're each broken out, and then it's super clear. And then you can leave the actual order the way it is with just the lump, the total fine from each case, and then the sum total.
I got it.
Whoa. God dang
it. Madam Chair.
Randy, do you have anything more? Okay.
So I asked Pat to put this on the agenda for next week in hopes that we'd get through this, so unless you two are against it, we'll...
No, I think it's good to wrap it up. And
okay.
This was a lot of work for everybody. Good job plowing through it. Thank you for doing the extra work this week to get the order pulled together, and Alana for going through it as well. I feel comfortable with it. All right. Thanks so much. We will close the work session on case number GS 13-844-884-884-884-885-886-14-229-14-230 and 14-671.